Another day. As you guys know, my name's Oscar Ochoa, and I wanted to start off by saying that there's only a few of us here, but Rhonda and I have gotten engaged, and it's awesome. And so, yeah, I'm happy about that. And as you can tell, I'm a little nervous right now, but we'll get past that here. But today I'm going to be speaking in Ephesians 2. I'm going to kind of jump into something else from Philippians. And just because I want to try something new and try something different. And so that's what I want to get into. We'll kind of go Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 8. And we'll just go through, obviously, you know, Ephesians, that's like the height of what we got going on for us as the body of Christ, kind of seeing from a heavenly view on where we're positionally sitting, and how the blessings that we have, and that we just, the really how good we have it. We have it good. When we die, we have eternity to look forward to, and it's going to be a glorious thing. So, yeah. So I just wanted to jump into it. If I have anything else, this book is for just to kind of let everybody know. This book is for everybody. This book is for every person to be able to read it and study it. It's not just for, you know, the hierarchy or whoever thinks they're in charge. This book is for every individual to read and study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. So this is for yourself as an individual relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to start off with that because a lot of people don't want to study their Bible. They just want to read it. But we are to study our Bible. So that being said, we can just jump right into Ephesians verse 1. And we can just start our text there. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So just stop right there. So when he's saying you, he's talking to believers. He's talking to Apostle Paul, talks to believers, talks to people of the body of Christ. So he says you, which is the believers, hath he quickened. Quickened meaning made alive. So we were dead in trespasses and sins. So we were dead. So what kind of death was that? Well, that's a spiritual death that we had. A separated from God. A death that was, we were separated from God. So where that started at, I'd like to jump into Genesis chapter 2. Let's just kind of go there real quick. And people here in Faith Bible Church, we study Scripture with Scripture. Study Scripture with Scripture. We want to let the Bible interpret itself, and we study to, so we can have, instead of someone else interpreting it for us, we let the Bible interpret it for us. So, I was Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. All right. And the Lord God commanded, this is obviously Adam and Eve, and when he was, you know, there, when God was here. So, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou shalt eat of it, eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So he's saying, okay, well, you're going to die if you eat this, you know, of this tree. So let's go to chapter 3, verse 2. Same book, Genesis. So we can jump to verse 2. So here, the woman and Satan are conversating. Satan is tempting the woman. And he's saying, well, you know, this is where he first lied, and he did a half truth. So, the serpent, verse 1, the serpent was subtle of any beast. And he told him, did God say that you can eat of the tree? And then in verse 2, we have, and the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Oh, so Satan is saying, so that's what the woman said. And then here comes Satan. And of the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Lie right there. So that's flat lie. You will die spiritually. And you will die physically. I don't know if he was to live forever, because it was a perfect, God makes things perfect. But I know that he wouldn't die, what, 900 plus years that he died physically? But spiritually he died right there. They died right there and then when they ate of that apple. So, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And Satan, there you go, uses what God says, because he, you know, he uses the eyes of the, your understanding will be opened. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, and it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And then in verse 7 it says that the eyes of them were both opened and they were naked. And obviously the first religious issue, you know, religion came into play when they sewed fig trees. Fig things on their body. So that's where we died. So because of Adam and Eve. So in Romans, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. So I just kind of want to keep going on this because we were dead in trespasses and we were made quickened. So we were made alive, but we're kind of going through what we were, you know, how we were dead, because this is a spiritual death we got going on here. Romans 5, chapter 12, 14. Chapter 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For unto the, verse 14, nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, reign even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So that's just basically, you know, proving that the death that wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed on upon all men thanks to Adam. So we have, you know, the spiritual death and a physical death that we have to go through, in which Christ conquered both, thanks to Adam. So, should I go into one more? Yeah, let's do it. So let's go to John chapter 5. So, when we die, we have resurrection. When we die, there's two types of resurrections. John chapter 5. Verse 28. So I know this was written in during Christ's earthly ministry, but here it says, marvel not at this, verse 28, chapter 5, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of the damnation. So my guess is that those who have done good had faith in their respected dispensations that they lived in, and those that had done evil didn't have faith and were in the dispensations that they were living in. So let's jump to Revelation real quick. Revelation chapter 20. And I was saying this last Sunday, but I really like to jump to a lot of scripture, and because, you know, it helps with muscle memory and like trying to, you know, keep on, you know, just being in the Word and flipping through pages, because that's what it's about. So just to kind of whoever's listening and whoever's paying attention, that's what I kind of feel is pretty good for us. So Revelations chapter 20. So, and I always like comments, so if you guys want to give me a comment at the end, let me know if something is wrong or off, I would appreciate that. So, Revelations chapter 20, verse 4, and here we're talking about resurrection, and this is where things can get kind of funny, so, but I'm going to try and explain it. So, this is obviously, you know, and I saw, and here in chapter 20, you know, God cast Satan to the bottomless pit and all that, and you know, laid hold of that serpent, locked him up for 1,000 years at the start of the chapter. And then we get into verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, in which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, yada yada, all the way, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So, and then verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So, the first resurrection is them guys, I'm guessing, who went through the tribulation, the saved, who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ. And I want to say that it's them, and it's those who are saved and throughout all dispensations. You know, I want to say that. I'm not sure, but I'm guessing that is. Then you have the rest of the dead. So the rest of the dead are the people who never went through the second death, which is in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests in God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, I think that we had our second death when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to jump to verse 14 and 15. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place. So this is at the great white throne. And then we jump to verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm in this book because, you know, we died spiritually when Adam ate the apple. And when Christ died for us, the second Adam, or you know, when Christ died for our sins, he took that back, where we are now established in the heavens, and we don't have to worry about being, you know, worried about, you know, losing our salvation or any of that. So I wanted to get to this because there are two resurrections from what I see in John. And then when you come here, you have the resurrection of the first resurrection, which I believe is the kingdom saints and us who are going to be resurrected. And then there in verse 15, you see that the second death, this is the second death, and that then people are literally going to get cast into hell, into a place of torment. There is a place of torment that a lot of people in, you know, in Christendom, they don't want to believe that. And there is a place in torment. It's not me saying it, it's the book saying it. And it's saying that there is a place for people that are in Adamic nature that we've seen in Genesis 2. So, all right. So let's jump back and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Back to Ephesians. And let's continue reading. So, all right, and we can go chapter 2, verse 2. So, wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air. Obviously, we all know that that's Satan, and the spiritual warfare that's in the air, he's controlling that. He's part of that. So he's called a prince, which a prince sits on thrones, and the prince has authority. So he has authority in the air, and he's trying to, you know, he's doing what he can to stop people from getting saved and to stop believers from doing, honoring God's word and doing what they should do or try and do. And, you know, to do what's right for today's dispensation, which is the dispensation of grace. And so, yeah, this is under his control. And I wanted to jump to Matthew chapter 7, if we could. Matthew chapter 7. And then, in, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we know that he's called the God of this world, lowercase g. So he's got some kind of positioning going on where he's, you know, him and his angels, they're working hard to fight against the body of Christ and what the Lord has trying to do for today. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Okay. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. So, this is for the people walking, you know, at the course of this world, how we were. And enter ye, and this is a verse that is, we hear about it and we like to quote it, but I don't hear it too much, you know, and this is something that is deep, in my opinion, and that is, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be many that find it. So, we were part of the many. There are many and there are few. God has always dealt with a remnant. Always. He's always dealt with a remnant. He's always dealt with a small amount. He never dealt with the many. You could look on church today with the big followings. God, I mean, don't get no more plainer than that, you know, like God doesn't deal with many, he deals with few, because it's just, that's how deep sin is, and that's how rotten to that apple core that Adam and Eve ate, that's how we got it. So that's why we needed a sinless Savior who came as a man to help us and to, you know, get us to the place that we needed to be in, the position that we needed to be, which Ephesians talks about. So, yeah, God only, he's never, and I mean, there's examples of that. I mean, there's not, what happened at the flood, you know? Only 8 people he chose to survive out of, there probably was millions or billions of people that were living on the earth at that time. And he only chose 8. So he always dealt with a remnant. There's always a Elijah, you know, when he was dealing with the worshipers of Baal, and he thought he was the only one, and there ended up being, I don't know, a few thousand people who were actually honoring the Lord at the time, and which is a small comparison to what how many people, you know. So I mean, the 12 apostles, Moses and his brother, the apostle Paul and the epistles, those are all small amounts of people that are going against the grain and going against the, you know, the many. So God doesn't deal with many. He deals with few. And that's biblical. So we talked about 2 Corinthians 4:4. We can go back to Ephesians, but yeah, Satan is the god of this world, and he deceives the many. All right. Chapter 2. All right, guys. Thanks for putting up with me. We're just moving along. All right. Chapter 2, verse 3. Among whom also we have all had... And before I wanted to move forward, you know, like this is a Sunday school. So the reason why I'm going through all these scriptures is because this is Sunday class. And this is a class so we can swim through the scriptures and let God say what he has to say. Okay? And moving forward, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation, which is manner of living in times past. The lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature, we have a sin nature. Okay, this by nature, we're the children of wrath. You know, it's like we are, and if you don't want to believe that, okay, well then we could go back. I mean, let's go to, if you don't want to believe that, we can go to Galatians chapter 5 real quick and make it quick, because everyone knows about Galatians chapter 5. But, I mean, there's so much there, you know, that we'll probably be going into Galatians later. It's just a few pages left of Ephesians, but Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh, works of the flesh, there we go, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, moral uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's making light of things, idolatry, obviously worshiping anything other than God, witchcraft, hatred, variances, constant arguing, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. So that's the children of wrath. That's all us there. That's us in our nature, okay? I think there's some more going on in Romans chapter 3, verse 12. And then here in Romans, Romans chapter 2 talks about the moralizers and all that, and then we get back to chapter 3, and then it gets to showing, hey, there's Jew, Gentile, black, white, yellow, green, you're all, nobody is above nobody, nobody has a secret, different spot. The Lord says, all you guys are the same. You guys are all sin and come short of the glory of God, period. So, Romans through chapter 3, verse 12. All right. And the first few verses before, we'll go to verse 10 real quick. As it is written, because in verse 9 he's talking about he proved that both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Okay? So for those that want to act moral, immoral, religious, the Lord says it right here. Okay? That's why we need a Savior. You know, their throat is open. Verse 13, to sepulchre. Can't say that word. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asp under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and in the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's where we were at before. That's where people are at these days now, and it's getting worse. Things are waxing worse, and that's why we need a Savior. We need to get in this word. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's why we have the law. Just the law is for us to know that we're sinners. And then, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Okay. That describes the lifestyle of the lost. The word of God has negatives. You know, that's just how it is. The word God has things that are negative, and people get uncomfortable to hear it. But that's not our job to feel bad about how you feel. God doesn't talk about things how we feel. He wants to know for you to understand what is going on for today's day and age. So, let's go back to Ephesians. Awesome. Ephesians chapter 2, verse before. So now we knew, verse 3, now we knew that we were by nature the children of wrath. So now we know where, how we walked. We know we were dead in trespass in verse 1. Now we know how we walked in the prince of the power of air. We know that we were by nature the children of wrath. And here we go. But, that word that everybody loves, but. So God says, yeah, you were all this, but now. You know, so that word but is a beautiful word. But God, not man, not you, not me, not a denomination, not a church, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Oh, so where did that great love come from? In my opinion, it came from at the cross. You know, where he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to pay that price for our sins. That's that love, who is rich in mercy. We were dead in sins, but now a God who is rich in mercy, he busted out some love for us, all right? And that's the beautiful thing that we have. And a lot of people, you know, they're like, okay, well, you know, God is this, God is that. Well, God does what he wants, okay? God does exactly whatever he wants. So, we can, and I can show you he does what he wants. We'll go to Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. Now, during this time, Moses, God was mad at Israel. And he wasn't playing. He was getting ready to destroy them, you know. Exodus chapter 33. And in chapter 32, he was getting ready to destroy them. And he wasn't, and it was, and Moses said, well, you know, well, what about the promises? Ooh, and God said, all right, well, and I don't know how deep that goes, but, I have a few questions about that, but, I'm going the wrong way. Exodus chapter 33. But all I'm proving right now is that God is sovereign. Okay, maybe it was a depiction of him showing that he can do whatever he wants, you know, and then he's like, oh, I got to go back to my promises. But God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. Okay, and this is the verse that is proven. And he said, I will make, verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Right. That's clear. You know, I will be who I will be to, you know, what I want, and I will choose who I want. I will be merciful to who I want to be merciful to. I will be gracious to who I want to be gracious to. That's you know, the Lord. And his infinite wisdom and knowledge and mercy and love, he knows what he's doing. He chooses who he wants to choose. And believe it or not, these people who are doing this to us in this country and trying to, you know, trying to break down this nation psychologically, you know, the powers that be, God is ordained. God is behind, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's still there. Even though all this stuff's going on to try and do this to our children and to our families and friends and mess them up in the brain, you know, that's what's going on in America. It's psychological warfare, okay? And God is still behind this, and he's still there for us. That's why, you know, there's no worries. God doesn't want us to worry. Just pray about it, because he's there, and he does, and he has mercy to who he wants to have mercy to, and be gracious to who he wants to be gracious to. So, all right, so we go back to Ephesians, and we'll go to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Okay, so we just heard that. So what's happening is that the Holy Spirit is putting emphasis on this. The Holy Spirit is repeating himself. He is repeating himself to emphasize that we were dead in sins, but now we're made alive. By what? By grace you are saved. Not by works, not by none of that, but by grace are you saved. That's God's unmerited favor toward us. So the Holy Spirit is emphasizing that. And I want to go to Romans chapter 6 so we can kind of And I do bounce around a lot. So, because I'd rather let God speak for me than me speak too much, because I am, yeah. So, Romans chapter 6. I guess it kind of gets people kind of engaged, huh? So that's pretty good. And Romans chapter 6, verse 5. We can go to verse 5. All right, and this had to happen before he made us alive, okay? So we had to believe that Christ died on the cross, rose again. But this is something that happened, I'm pretty sure, right before, like, this has to happen before we get quickened. So Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We have been planted together in the likeness of his death. So, when we are identified in his death, burial, and resurrection. So, we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's the Ephesians. We're set in the heavenlies. We're positioned in the heavenlies. And that's that our old man is crucified with him. So that's that second death that I was talking about in Revelation. And that we already do it. We crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're done. That's Lord helped us out with that, you know. And I wanted to have jumped. I something looks very, you know, verse 14 and verse 15 are one of my favorite verses in Romans in the same chapter, you know, because it's so plain. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law but under grace. That's a position. You know, that's not just talking about laws and grace. It's talking about two different types of positions that were once was and now is. And that's, you are not under law, but under grace. What then? He asks, the Apostle Paul, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey his servants, ye are to whom to obey, whether of sin unto death, or of the obedience of the righteousness? So he's saying, like, you know, because we are not under law, we are under, it's okay to sin? Not a lot, of, you know, it's not okay. Just because we have, you know, we're under a position where we don't have to do works, and that we're, hold up, got to fix that. No, it's not okay to sin, obviously, you know, just because we know, you know, but, I mean, it's very plain, you can't stop sinning. Who in this world can stop sinning? Nobody. Whoever says that they're good and that everything is okay and that you guys can stop sinning, that is you're lying to yourself, and it's a lie because you can't. So, moving forward, sorry about that. I just like those verses because it's very plain, very like in your face forward. So, let's go to Galatians. I want to see something in Galatians. So, when you become saved, now, and I won't go to the Bible verse, but and you have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Okay, that's what you are. That's you are in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So real quick, we can go to Galatians 5, chapter verse 17, so we can get there. But we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. So that's the image that the Lord gave us. And within that soul, you have a mind, will, and emotion. So when you became saved, when Adam sinned, we got a sin nature within. I think it's within our spirit. All right, so we're within one of those. But you get a sin nature. Then when you become saved, you get another nature now. You get the Christ-like nature where you want to do what's right. And now Christ dwells in you and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you have both of them natures are going against each other at all times. Always, okay? And in Galatians, it shows you that you do have two natures and you do and they are going against each other. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh, which is the Adamic nature, lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And obviously, you know, if you be led by the spirit, ye are not under the law, obviously. But see, that's saying... And then verse 16 before that, this I say then, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you have the flesh lusteth against the spirit. So them two natures are constantly battling against each other. And I'm pretty sure that the unsaved don't have that. They don't have the two natures battling against each other because they've never were saved. So they never had that other nature come in and so you can grow in maturity in Christ, and because there's babes in Christ, but to grow in maturity in Christ, we get saved, we have that new nature, and now we have the battle that wants our old nature doesn't go anywhere. We have to keep it dormant because that's just how it is. You know, that's just what we got to go through, and it always warreth. It always goes back and forth. So you want to, you know, I heard something with, I don't know, if you feed the wolf this, you know, it's like you want to feed the wolf that's doing, it's a thing they do in like, what, in, you know, in, yeah, 12 step or whatever, and they feed the wolf the one that's basically what it is. You want to put one dormant and feed the one that you want to do. And that's what carnal Christians are doing, are putting, you know, feeding the other way. And the Lord says, I shall not be mocked. And he says, I can't think of it right now. But he shall not be mocked. Let's leave it at that. So, all right. So the spiritual warfare is a real thing. So let's just go back to Ephesians. Chapter 2. All right. Verse 6. All right, so now we know, we were kind of getting along the lines that, hey, well, dead in sins, the way we walked, our conversation, children of the flesh, you know, nature, children of wrath, sin nature, but God who came in now, who is rich in mercy, because it's all about God's love toward us, not about our love toward God. God loved us way more than we did anything to love Him. So verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty beautiful thing, because He has made us fellow heirs. Like, He didn't just make us heirs. He made us fellow heirs. That's something different there. That means He's like, whoever's mine is yours, yours is mine. Come on, let's do this, you know? And we're sitting in the heavenlies. So, you know, you have the three heavens. You have the heavens of the fowls, the heavens of the stars, and you have heaven where God resides. And I'm pretty sure we're going into heaven where God resides. And we're going to get that new body because we're identified in the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. So we get that new body without sorrow, without hunger, Well, I don't know about hunger. I don't think, but without pain, without hunger, without anything, we're going to be. So that's where we got looking for us in the heavenlies. That's, I mean, I can't wait. You know, the Apostle Paul said that he can't wait to die and go there, but he knew that it was better for him to promote the Lord and to keep doing what he was doing. So, it's our position that we're in. You know, he has given us eternal life. He's given us resurrection power. He's justified us, sanctified us, redeemed us, glorified us, propitiated us, and intercessed for us. He's doing it for us. You know, he did all the work. All we got to do is believe. And then, you know, we suffer for him. That's our job. We should be suffering for him. As we, you know, it's like, and, you know, we all, it's, so, we're just thankful, Lord. We want to be thankful because we're positioned in the heavenlies. We got a pretty high seat. So that's a pretty good thing. So let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 12. And I got 5 more minutes and I think I'll be able to make it. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. And then all this is just, this should be our present day lifestyle because of, you know, what we got going on for us. So this is a pretty nice thing going on. So chapter 2, verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm guessing that's, you know, the rapture and, you know, and everything that we got in the Lord. So, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Because that's how we should be living. Soberly, righteously, and godly. Was I doing that in the past? No. But guess what? I'm doing it now. And I'm enjoying myself. And no moralizer, no immoralizer, no religious man can tell me nothing, because in Romans, all the way through Paul's epistles, telling me into Ephesians in the book that we're now, that we sit in the heavenlies and that we should be studying. And like in 2 Timothy 2:15 that I mentioned earlier. So, so I'm just grateful about that. So, keep a mark on Titus, because we're going to come right back to Titus. But I'm going to go into back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. So we know that we got raised up, and that we're made us to sit together in the heavenlies. That in the ages to come, meaning, I guess it's just into eternity, into the future, ages. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Kindness. That's kindness that he did. He loved us. He was so kind to us to even think that we even were able to accept this that he's done for us. I mean, when you think about it, it's like, geez, he really loved us and he was kind to us. Like that. And let me show you why. In chapter 3, verse 3 in Titus. Chapter 3, verse 3 in Titus. Okay. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, so that's just like the but now, you know. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 7. Which he has shed, verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. There goes that word. According to the hope of his eternal life. Oh, man. It's just, yeah, so according to his mercy. So God, we know, will be merciful to who you will be merciful to, and he's been merciful to us. And we will want to be grateful and thankful for that. And it's a beautiful thing. It really is. And so I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 8. And we'll get to the crescendo, if you want to say, so to speak, to what is really going on. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, that's pretty plain. It's a gift of God. Salvation is a gift by grace. You're not working for it. There's no work that you can ever do. Salvation comes first in your walk of life with God. Doesn't come second, doesn't come third, doesn't come 10 years from now. It comes first. Then once you get saved, you move forward from there. And you do the works, the good works that you want to do for the Lord. Not works in salvation, works and you want to do what Paul's epistles are doing for today. And that should be alone, just, you know, because why would we boast when it was all God? We didn't die on the cross. We didn't prophesy 700 years that he was going to be born. We didn't do none of that. So there's no boasting in, you know, we didn't live a sinless life. There's no boasting in us. It's all the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go to Romans chapter 3 real quick and we'll be finished. Just to kind of sum it up. I know we bounce around a lot. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 26. To declare, I say unto this, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. Our justifier. Romans chapter 4, verse 2. And this is where we're going to be in closing. God has dealings with... A dispensation is man's dealing with God. I mean, God's dealing with man. That's what a dispensation is. It's God's dealing with men in different time periods. So, this is what... This is just to kind of enclose. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? That's a question that we should ask ourselves all the time. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Okay? I mean, you can go home and chew on that for a little bit. The reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. There's no works, okay? No works for salvation. I mean, it's as plain. I mean, the Bible is very plain and very straightforward with us. So I would encourage you to study your Bible, pray for others, learn about Paul's epistles, and to promote as much as you can. Study thyself approved, and that we are saved by grace without the works. And 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. believe that the Lord died on the cross and rose again, was buried and rose the third day. So, Paul is our epistle for today, and that from Romans through Philemon, you can do a study. You study that for today's age. Acts is a dispensational period, and so we want to appreciate that we have salvation. Thank you for coming, and that's it. So maybe I'll do a quick prayer, and then we'll close. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come together, and thank you for letting me just be able to speak and to glorify you, all you, and that the Holy Spirit open some eyes, and that you open hearts, Lord, and that you do all the work, Lord, and we just believe, and we want to glorify your name, glorify you, and be grateful for that. And let us leave here peacefully, and not yet, because we're going to listen to Pastor Ricky, and appreciate you, Lord. In Lord Jesus' name, amen.